We've been looking at Daniel. Last week we talked about the Antichrist, kind of frightening on one side, but kind of soothing for us on the other. And today we're going to look at Daniel chapter 9. I'm skipping 8. Because honestly, chapter 8, you've got to have charts. Anyway, if you come to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, you'll be involved with Daniel chapter 8. And all the things, it's about goats and rams. It sounds like a football team, but there's a lot of headbutting and a lot of stuff going on. And it's about the Medes and the Persians and about how this was predicted would happen, and then it did happen. So it's a lot of things about the political system. So we're going to just skip by 8 and go to chapter 9. And if you remember, I told you last week that chapters 1 through 6 of Daniel are historical chapters telling us about Daniel and his life there in Babylon. And the Daniel in the lion's den and all those things that happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And last week we dealt with the Antichrist. Now, we're going to look at this chapter. And we're going to look, I got to get my nose straight. Look at Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Let's pray. Father God, we ask today that as I share from your word, that hearts would be open, hearts would be receptive, and that this word would be received with glad hearts. We thank you, Father, for these words that are before us. And as we go through this book, I ask that we might be able to collect our thoughts and look directly to your word. May we not think of other things that we have to do or places that we have to go or of things that are not important. We've come here to worship, Lord. I pray that our worship will be done in spirit and in truth. I ask, Lord, that you will meet everyone here in their spiritual journey. And I ask, Father, that for those that can't be with us today, that your spirit would minister to their hearts. I pray for Judy, my dear wife, and I ask, Lord, that you undertake for her and her with this physical problem that she has. I ask, Lord, that you're will meet and provide for her. I thank you, Father, for such a good mate, and I ask that you will bless her and that you, Father, will give her a good day. I pray that you might touch her physically. I pray that you might touch her spiritually, that as we continue to enjoy one another, that you, Father, would be in the midst of our lives. Bless us now, and I ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Judy's under the weather. Things keep cropping up. Does it happen to older people? Do things crop up with you? Oh, yes. Mary's in agreement with me, and I know that it happens. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Daniel, we read about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet when Daniel was a kid in Jerusalem. Daniel knew about him, and Daniel and the rest of the little gnomes, or the little guys, thousands of these Jewish people were kidnapped, and they took them off to Babylon, off to this city, and trained them, tried to change their thinking, and tried to just indoctrinate them into the Babylonian lifestyle. And many of them just jumped on it. We want to live like they live. They live a pretty good life. So it might be what I need to be doing. So Daniel heard the words that Jeremiah spoke, and that Nebuchadnezzar would come upon Jerusalem in about 586 BC. And we know that Daniel served in the courts of the king. Daniel was a good guy. He stayed true to God. He was just the kind of man that God needed for that time in that city, in that kingdom, we might say. He had a great career, faithful to all the kings, and we find him now in his early 80s. And he's reading, somehow he got the book that Jeremiah wrote, and he's reading from the book of Jeremiah. And he realizes that as he adds the time up, that those 70 years that Jeremiah spoke about, like the Jewish people would be taken and they'd be held captive for 70 years, that the end was drawing nigh. But if we remember, there was a king, Cyrus, who was the king of Babylon, and he lets the Jewish people go back. I don't know if Daniel knew about it, but Daniel was reading the scripture. When we're in trouble, when we're in difficulties, when our lives are seem to be blah and not going anywhere, Daniel was reading the scripture, and he read about from Jeremiah. Here it is, right before us. Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14. And he's reading all the books. They aren't set up the way we have them. It's a scroll, and he's reading through these scrolls, and I don't know how many scrolls he had to have, but evidently he was a bigwig, and somehow he managed to get his hands on these scrolls. And here's what he read in the book of Jeremiah. He would have had to have read it. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years at Babylon, are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried captive. Daniel was 15 when he was taken, and he did the math, as I said. He's thinking about what's going to happen, and he says, and he realizes, we're going to go back soon. Those 70 years are just at the cusp. It's going to happen. We're going to go back to Jerusalem. And then, as I said, Cyrus lets them go back. And Daniel is overjoyed at the thought. And then when Daniel reads, we look at verses 3 and 4, Daniel 9. Here's what Daniel does. after he reads from the book of Jeremiah. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Daniel reads, and Daniel broke down in his spirit. I'm sure he's weeping. He's realizing how faithful God has been. God is going to rescue them. All those people have the opportunity to go back to Jerusalem. Now, the temple's not there. It was destroyed. But they're going to be able to go back and rebuild the temple and get back to where they should be after 70 years. Now, we read about sackcloth. And sackcloth was something like a chop sack. How many know what a chop sack is? It was made out of wool. It was made out of some kind of fiber that was not comfortable to wear. A garment made out of sackcloth. It was sticky. It might have been wool, as I said, something else. And so the Hebrews, or anyone in that area, covered themselves with sackcloth, and then they put ashes over their head. I hope we don't get back to that tradition. We don't want to do that. And they would pray and seek God's face. Can you think of anybody else in the Old Testament that prayed, that sat in the pile of ashes and scraped himself with the pots? Job. He sat in those ashes and scraped himself with a piece of pottery because he had boils or some such thing, and he couldn't get any relief. Put the ashes on him, he was in mourning, and his wife said to him, why don't you, what? Why don't you curse God and die? I'm glad I wasn't married to Mrs. Job. I'm glad that he had the right words. And so he told her that, I think he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Good response. And so they would fast. And they would, you know what fasting is, that they wouldn't eat for a period of time, dressed up in sackcloth, and then poured ashes over their head. And Christ rebuked the Pharisees, or the priests in the temple, whenever they would do that in front of everyone. They would come out on the street, walking through the street, dressed like that. And Christ said, you're only doing it to get money. You're only doing it to get attention. We do those things. We mourn. We mourn in private. Now in Daniel 9, 5 through 11, we'll read those. We have sinned, and Daniel continues his prayer. And Daniel said, we've sinned and committed iniquity. We've done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. And here's why he sees the need to mourn, because of what the people, the Hebrew people, have done in the past. Not obeying the word, not being true to the word, and continually trying to make things better for themselves. And we all want to make things better for ourselves. But they were doing it out of God's direction. And you have not, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your name, in your name, to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face as is this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And Daniel says, we're in this predicament because we have invited it on ourselves. The people of Israel had sinned. They failed to listen to the prophets. They failed to heed the word. They failed in many ways. And he says, we have brought it upon ourselves. We can't blame you, God, because you are merciful. You're a God of justice and a God of mercy. And Daniel repents. Now, that's a big word that we want to consider today that we'll be talking about for a couple minutes, that word repentance. Repentance is turning away from our sins and turning toward God. Pretty simple, isn't it? Turning away from our sins, turning to God. Repent and be saved. Repent and be saved. Turn to God. Turning from sin, turning to God. And chapter 9, verses 1 through 19 is all about repentance. It's all about turning from our ways and going toward God's ways. God is righteous. We're not. We all have sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But God is righteous in all that he does. And how can we get to God? If he's such a righteous and a pure and a holy God, and if he's seated on the throne there in heaven, how do we get to such a being? And the way we have to get to God is through repentance. Repent. Today is the day of salvation. There was a little cartoon where this guy would hold a sign and you would see him walking around on the streets of somewhere, and it would just say, repent. It seems like people knew the rest of it. It's like my sign down there one time I put on, you think this is hot, and they fill in the blanks themselves. Repent. Repent and turn from your ways to God's ways. So we can only get to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. No other way to be able to get to him. What does it take to get righteous? And I'm still focusing on that word repent. John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2 says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus said, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So there we have it from John the Baptist, from the Lord Jesus, that word repent. Turn from your ways, turn to God. When Daniel had to repent, let's go back to that Jeremiah verse again, Thomas. For this says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good works toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you. We read in that scripture of the mercy of God. We read in that scripture of the kindness of God. We read about his faithfulness. We read about his patience. We read about his forgiving heart, the forgiveness that he offers us. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God speaks through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you, and then you turn from your ways to God's ways. It's a very important topic, a very important thing for us to do. Now, I like the thought that God isn't angry with you. God is just and right in all that he allows in our lives, but he's not mad at you. He's faithful toward us. He's loving toward us. He's a wonderful God. And who wouldn't want to know a wonderful God? The wonderful God. Who wouldn't want to take steps to live forever? First, by repenting, and then salvation comes to you. You're saved from what? You're saved from hell. Your sins are forgiven. And you're on your way to that wonderful place where God is. That Jeremiah 29 portion is very important. For the believers were to draw near to him. God isn't cranky. God is merciful. And we need to have a good view of God. Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23, it's not on the screen, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. There's a psalm that says, only by the mercy of God, who would be able to stand? If we were judged by our sin immediately when he did it, who would be around? Who would be here? Who would be walking this earth? But by the mercies of God, we are saved. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we see some things about the characteristics of God. If there's any distance between you and God, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. It's because you have failed to turn toward him. God is loving. God is merciful. Psalm 103, listen carefully. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. His mercy is higher than the heavens. We see photos of space. We have three heavens, the one right above us. Then we have the stars, the second heaven, and the third heaven is where God is, out there somewhere. And his mercy is as high as those heavens. That's a lot of mercy. and he offers it to us. He's merciful and right. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mercy. The epitome of mercy, Christ dying for us. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. How merciful it is that he draws us, not because he's mad at us, but because he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to relate to us and us call upon him, relate to him. God is compassionate. Psalm 145, 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Now David got hooked up with Bathsheba. And the prophet Nathan came to David and said, listen, pal, I know what you've been up to. And not only do I know what you've been up to, but God knows what you've been up to. God knows that you've been unfaithful. God knows all about it. And David breaks down. He was the king, but he breaks down. And he says this in Psalm 51. And he cries out to God, and it's a great example for you and I. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. I have a friend that today, when he goes, if he goes to church, that he's going to be removed from his position. And it will be made known to the whole congregation that he has committed moral failure. That's all they need to say. Don't need to say anything about it. Don't need to name names. But all we know is that that young man will be removed from his serving the Lord. He's committed moral failure in front of the whole congregation. That word goes out. David, the same way, says to the Lord after he was with Bathsheba and she has a child to him and he murders, gets her husband killed out in the front of the army and they have the baby and the baby dies and Nathan speaks to him and says, and David says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitudes of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, repent, blotting out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. He sought the Lord, and it says in Scripture, David was a man after what? God's own heart. Hard to imagine, but he was. Forgiveness comes from God because God is merciful, merciful. He's mighty, filled with mercy, ready to forgive. Compassionate. David found out about that. And God not only is merciful, but God is faithful. Psalm 145:13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Psalm 36:5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Self-explanatory. What wonderful faithfulness he has. He goes the extra mile with you and I. That extra mile. And his mercies make their way every day. We start the new day over with God's mercy, showing us mercy. Daniel, when he read Jeremiah, reads about things God has done, how faithful God has been to the Jewish people, how faithful he was when God brought him across the desert and into the promised land, how faithful he was and is. Every single morning is an opportunity for you to get a clean start. God's mercy endures forever. Isaiah 55:7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Every day, mercy is offered to us. A new dose of mercy every day. We start things anew every morning when we know and repent. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Father, that as we repent and turn to you, that you will not leave us, that you will not forsake us, that you will help us, because we read today that you are faithful, that you are loving, that you're a wonderful God. And who wouldn't want to follow and to be aligned with such a mighty God? The book of Acts tells us that we should repent and be converted, that our sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come through the presence of the Lord. Father, I ask that if there's anyone here that doesn't know your Son, that has not repented, that before this morning is over, that before this day is over, that they would repent, that they would turn from their wicked ways, that they would pray to you and ask you into their hearts and lives, ask for forgiveness, ask that you might lead them and direct them, that you might help them, that you might help them be overcomers. We love you, Lord. We know that you're speaking to our hearts. And you spoke to my heart this week. I know, Father, that there are many times that I let you down. There are many times when I could be more about your business. There are many times when I could speak up and I let it go by. And I ask, Father, just as Jeremiah, as Daniel, when he prayed and he confessed the sins of his people, that he included himself in that. Father, if there's one here that needs to repent, let this be the day of repentance. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You remember the story I told you about the gal up in Ridgeway, 32 years old, dying of cancer on that bed. And she said, "Are you the preacher?" And I said, "I'm the preacher." And she said, "K can you tell me how to get to heaven? Oh boy. And she's there just in that bed, just crumbled up in a fetal position. Can you tell me how to get to heaven? And I said, I can tell you. And I said, just pray. And she said, I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. I said, I can. And I prayed, and she prayed with me. And I told you, she sighed, and she said, oh, now I can go to heaven. Our goal is that when I get to heaven, I'll see all you people coming through those gates. That's my desire. And your desire should be that same thing. Some of us will get there before the others. That old song, when I get to heaven, tell all my friends that I'm, when you get to heaven, tell all my friends that I'm coming too. It's a great thing. Our dear sister Jean is 100 years old, still going partially strong, but she's here. And we should take that attitude in our lives. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Repent. Ask Christ into your hearts and lives. Amen. Malia, let's sing that last song. And the group.